Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Straight out of Compton, like comparing players. Let's talk to the pros. Hey, yo, what's up, everybody? It's me, Joey P, Joe Pisapia, and welcome to Fantasy Pros, where the fantasy experts live. It is me, it is Tags, and it's you, and we're talking all things rookies today with a great guest. That's right, we're talking about the top five rookie running backs, quarterbacks, and wide receivers that are coming into the NFL via the draft this season, who their comps are, what our expectations are, and a whole lot more. And we've got the right person to do that because our guest today is Travis May. You can follow him on Twitter at @FF_TravisM. He covers NFL, CFB. He's got fantasy football stuff over on RotoViz. He also hosts the College to Canton podcast there. So great stuff there. Travis, welcome to the show. I'm excited to have you, my friend.
Hey, glad to be here. Always good to hop on the Fantasy Pros show. It feels like it's becoming an annual ritual here just to join you guys, talk about some prospects. Last year was all running backs, and this year it looks like it's a little bit of everything. So I'm just pumped to be here. Thanks for having me.
And Tags, I'm excited as always to talk to you, my BFF here at Fantasy Pros. And Tags, I don't know if you knew this or not, but I was been inspired by Cam Newton this week. I'm going to start my own camp for kids about broadcasting and stuff like that and see how it goes and see if I get trolled. Do you think that's a good idea? What do you think?
That's a terrible idea.
Really?
Terrible idea. As is the whole pre-show ritual we do here. We have a clap session. Joe had to do it three damn times before the show started because he doesn't count correctly. He does like a 3, 2, 1. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Count it correctly.
Everything has been thrown off. I'm happy we have Travis here, who, by the way, he came into the room and I said, "What's up, Trevor?" And I was like, wait,
yeah, I was like, you're talking about my counting. You didn't even get our guest name right.
No, and I didn't know. It's because I've been thinking about Trevor Lawrence so much that Travis came in here and I just thought, GOAT status, the number one pick. We have Travis. We have Trevor Lawrence. We're going to talk about both of them today.
Right, Travis? Jeez.
That's where I'm at, Trevor. I mean, Travis.
Well, look, we're gonna play a game, which is perfect for today, called Get to Know Me, also at the end of the show, where we get to know a little bit more about some of our analysts here, which will be fun. So hopefully by the end, Mike will also know Travis's name as we continue on with the program. But before we get into it, I want to start here because we got a little giveaway because of our friends at Pristine Auction. We got a J.K. Dobbins signed jersey out there. Again, this is at pristineauction.com. And if you want to join Pristine Auction, you can, of course, use that code FANTASYPROS. But if you want to get into this little contest, go to fantasypros.com/contest, okay? Very simple. I think you can remember it's a contest, so just put contest right after the slash. And if you go to iTunes or CastBox or Apple Podcasts, whatever it's called now, you can go ahead, take a screenshot of any review you drop here of us and our shows here on Fantasy Pros. And guess what? You can then go fill out this little form here on fantasypros.com/contest, and you can be eligible to win this J.K. Dobbins signed jersey, Mike Tagliere's favorite new player. But you're running out of time. It's only till the 28th at 11:59 p.m. Oh my goodness, time is ticking. So again, go to fantasypros.com, hit up that slash contest link there, and you can get registered to win a J.K. Dobbins signed jersey. good stuff, free swag, thanks to our good friends at Pristine Auctions. So we are ready to get after it. Again, we're going to go roundtable style here, and we'll start with our guest, Travis, Mike.
Yes.
Travis, okay, for running back prospects.
And at least one of you guys get it.
Well, you know, that's why I get the medium bucks and Mike gets a lot. You know, he's like a big diva. He's like, you know, he's like, well, you know, we barely even call him by his real name. He's just tags here.
It's true.
And I've actually been told, don't call him Mike. It'll throw people off. So there you have it.
It throws me off because I'm in trouble.
Michael or Michael,
I'm in trouble. That's usually what it means now.
Well, I think we've established that today already. But all right, let's start with Najee Harris, obviously an all-world talent. I mean, I know Mike and I have already had this conversation, but Travis, I want to hear your comp for him. And while you're at it, give me your ideal landing spot in the draft for him and what your expectations are for 2021 for Najee Harris, the brilliant running back from Alabama.
Yeah, so Najee Harris, I mean, at this point, a lot of people have been talking about him for several years. I mean, those that love nerdier versions of fantasy football, like, you know, college fantasy or even Devy, like where you can actually roster college players years in advance. Like, we've been talking about Najee Harris for seriously 5 years. You know, it's just like he was the next this guy. Everybody's been comping him for years and years. But I think, to me, a good comp would be Steven Jackson. I think he's got that size. I don't think he has Derrick Henry size, but I think he's got great balance. He's just got an incredible nose for the end zone. He showed that this last year, you know, had like 20, I think it was 19 or 20 touchdowns inside the 10 this year, which is just insane. So I really like his ability to be a heavy touchdown scoring machine. And maybe do that for the Atlanta Falcons. I think that would be a lot of fun. They need to get their running back room figured out. So I think that would be a nice spot where he could have an instant impact and score some big fantasy points early.
But Travis, real quick, do you think that this is a guy that, and we've kind of had this discussion, Mike and I don't want to get your, excuse me, Tags and I have had this discussion before about whether or not you feel that he is worthy of a late first round pick, depending on the landing spot, of course.
What you mean, just for fantasy redraft.
So because it's very rare that we get to this point sometimes with rookies, but I feel like this guy's scratching that surface. And I've only seen two guys in the last 10 years that I really felt that strongly about, Saquon and Zeke. Do you think he's in that same kind of mold?
I don't think he's in that mold, no. I don't think he's that elite level kind of talent where you're like, okay, right away I'm going to draft him and he's just going to be the go-to. I mean, think about it. Every year there's one guy that we prop up. And then normally we're wrong about that one guy, you know, so like even like this past year with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, like that was great for 2 weeks. And then what happened? So I think I would probably be very hesitant to take him that early. And honestly, I depending on landing spot, depending on where ETN goes, I think I might be more interested in going that direction earlier.
All right. Tags, how about you for Najee Harris? Where do you want him to land up and where do you put him in terms of comps?
So comps, we talked about it, and it's a high comparison for me. I actually love the Steven Jackson one. It's really good. I think he's a little bit more fluid in terms of what I saw out of Steven Jackson, but Steven Jackson was a really good running back who was never recognized as an elite, like elite of the elite running backs, is because he played on a terrible football team for the majority of his career, had limited scoring opportunities with the Rams. But Adrian Peterson is a name that we threw out there with someone like Najee Harris coming out. I uber talented. And, you know, Joe, you brought up, would you draft him at the end of the first round and redraft? No, I don't know if there's a situation that I can see him going to that I would draft him there, just because you look at the teams that need running backs, that need workhorse running backs, that are going to have a shot to draft Najee Harris. And I don't think that they're in a position to score enough points or have an offensive line to support a first round running back. So I don't think he's going to go there. I think what you're looking at, best case scenario for him, is that he's like a high-end RB2 right now, because the teams that should be interested are teams like the Steelers, who have to rebuild their offensive line.
Right.
It seems like they've lost two starters already. They might lose a third. We don't know. The Dolphins, who are kind of in rebuild mode. The offensive line got better last year, and if they take Penei Sewell at 3 and then get to 18 and take Harris, that would be an ideal landing spot for him. The Jets, terrible, you know, as an offense. There's things changing there. The Bills are a team that I could see interested in him. The Falcons could be a team that's maybe in the second round that would interest if he falls that far. But again, there's limited teams where he can go to, where I just don't know if he's going to have the impact that people want in fantasy football. But make no mistake about it, Najee Harris, he's going to be a good running back in fantasy football for a very long time.
All right, let's move to number two on the running back list, Travis Etienne. Now, obviously, Etienne has some really good patience at the line, Travis. He's a guy that has some long strides. And that was always what was impressive to me when I watched Etienne, is he was allowing the play to develop. And I think that's something we always talk about with Lev Bell and some guys like that. But I don't want to put that comp on him necessarily because I feel like he's different. But from your perspective, who's the comp for Etienne? Where do you want him to be?
Man, I think if you look at what Travis Etienne has done with his game in the past year and a half, to go from this guy who was just self-admittedly afraid to catch the ball to a guy that is functioning as the de facto wide receiver two for Clemson in just less than two full seasons. I mean, it just complete transformation as a receiving back. He's really just rounded out his game to where he has essentially almost a perfect profile. Yes, he didn't have a crazy rushing final season, kind of got stuffed against like Notre Dame, a couple other spots. But that, you know, it was against like top 10 defenses where he was struggling, and any back is going to struggle in those situations. So I think he wants so badly to be Alvin Kamara. Like he wants so badly to be the next Kamara. And I think at this point, I think that's probably his best modern comp. I mean, he's not going to be comping anybody to that high level is a little bit scary, but I think that's kind of his ceiling. You know, I don't necessarily always like comping super high like that, but I think he has that kind of potential because he has, but really perhaps even better long speed than Kamara, and he's shown to have some immediate burst and incredible contact balance, and now as of late, just incredible receiving chops. So man, I still have Etienne as my running back one in this class and just love the ceiling. And I think that that would be great. And if he goes to a spot, you mentioned that patience.
Right.
I think if he went to the Steelers, that would kind of change what they do. You know, with you know, they're used to kind of a slower back, but you know, they might have to get used to a guy that with some actual speed again. But I think that would be a really fun spot. Moving forward,
I'm glad you mentioned, Travis, the idea of, you know, you hate it and I do too, and I think we all do. It was like everybody's compared to a superstar. Well, that's terrible. But in all fairness, today we're talking about the top five, so these guys are supposed to be in that conversation of they could become stars or superstars or all pro players, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's important, that as you go through and you hear a lot of draft coverage, everybody's not going to be a star. We know this, just go back and look at every draft. So I think we both feel like Harris, Etienne tags. I'm sure you kind of agree this guy's got star potential. So in your opinion, what kind of star does he remind you of and where would you like him to end up?
Yeah, and the comp thing's really tough, right? Because no one wants to hear you talk about a comp. Like, this guy comps to, you know, backup running back from so-and-so team. They don't want to hear that, like, because they're like, I don't even know what he looks like. So you kind of have to give a comparison for a player that the style, the size, and all those things that kind of remind you of. And we're typically, when people do comparisons, they're doing high-end projections. And they're doing that because they want you to know the ceiling of that player. But on top of that, the high-ceiling players, those are the ones that people watch on TV, and they have an idea as to who that player is. So when we talk about Alvin Kamara, it makes sense for Travis Etienne and because that's the type of player he is, like that Aaron Jones style running back. I say Aaron Jones and Alvin Kamara are so similar in a lot of ways that Aaron Jones is underrated. And people think it's because he plays for the Packers. It's not. He's phenomenal, and he just happens to play for the Packers. Etienne, it's going to depend where he goes. Right now, I mocked him. I did the first mock, and I put him to the Bucs because you think about it, and they're a team that's got to save a lot of money in free agency to re-sign some of their defensive players. They're not going to be able to re-sign Leonard Fournette, who made himself some money at the end of the 2020 season. So the Bucs need a pass-catching running back, and Ronald Jones, by the way, has never been completely trusted. He's fumbled, he's dropped passes, he's done all those things, and he only has 1 year left on his contract, so this is his last year on the contract. So why not go get Travis Etienne and have kind of like that Saints style 1-2 punch where Etienne could essentially take over and be that guy that they always wanted, that pass catching running back? The other two teams that I put down are the Jets and the Falcons, because that's ultimately where I'm expecting him to go. Late first round, early second round, that's where I'm going. So any of those teams that he would land on, I'm willing to put him in the middling RB2 conversation right now. Like if you were doing early redraft and you could draft rookies for whatever reason. I don't know why you would do that, but if you did, I do think Etienne is going to be a startable fantasy asset no matter where he winds up, because someone's going to use a lot of draft equity in him. And you don't draft running backs in the first round or the second round that you're really not going to use, because that rookie contract is basically, that's your moneymaker right there. You're saving a crap ton of money because you're not paying a running back on the open market, and you're using them up because that's the highlight of their career. Like they are... running backs are in their prime when they walk into the NFL. So, you know, Travis Etienne, pass catcher, he's for a guy that's is smaller, you know, he's a smaller stature running back. That's why I can't say he's Kamara, but he's very hard to tackle. He's slippery. You know, he knows contact balance is very good. He is a downhill runner despite having that patience. And for a guy his size, you know, I think he's right around 200 pounds. He does play a little bit downhill, which is really good for a running back that size because a lot of them get jumpy. They want to bounce everything outside. He doesn't do that. I do like Etienne. I'm just curious to see where he lands. And if he lands with the Bucs, it's just going to be a headache because you're going to be like, Ronald Jones is actually a good 1-2 down back. But Etienne and mm-hmm. the Bucs, by the way, did want to draft a running back last year. They just didn't get one of the ones that they wanted.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly, too. Fournette's going to cash in because he hasn't gotten that opportunity yet, and the money's going to go to Godwin in defense. That's where it's going to go. Now, it's funny you mentioned Aaron Jones, and maybe we'll go back to you with this one, Tags, because Javonte Williams, who, you know, from UNC, I actually wrote down, for me, he reminds me of Aaron Jones. He's not afraid of contact. He has good balance. And when you kind of close your eyes there and you're just kind of, you know, squinting and you watch him, to me, every time I see the same sort of runs, especially when you get in the red zone, that I saw Aaron Jones do the last 2 years. So in your opinion, is there another comp besides that in your head for Williams and where you think he might end up?
Mine, I had someone like Chris Carson. You know, can Javonte Williams stay healthy? You know, he's a banger. You know, he's willing to go in there. He has that low center of gravity. He'll go nose to nose with you. And it's like, try and tackle me, dude. Like the guy can break tackles. He only had really one big year in college. So I'm not going to sit here and say that he's a can't miss prospect. I think there's only two at the running back position. I think Harris and Etienne are the only ones that I can say who are can't miss. That's why I think Carson's a good comp for him because we've seen flashes of Carson being RB1 in fantasy football, but we've also seen some injury concerns. We've seen a team unwilling to fully go to him as the trusted RB1. They're mixing in other running backs. I kind of see that for Javonte Williams right now, and he kind of had it in college with Michael Carter. So I do like him. It's just I can't say that he's a can't-miss prospect. I think he's ideal for the Steelers and what they do, depending on the route that the Steelers take. Because if the Steelers, let's say they keep Ben Roethlisberger, they're going to have to add to that offensive line early in the draft. The defense is in pretty good shape. Can they add some pieces? Sure. But it's in good shape where the offensive line needs help, especially left tackle. So if they take an offensive lineman, taking Javonte Williams, you know, you can get him in the second or the third round where you're not spending that equity that you do on Najee Harris or Travis Etienne. So I believe that it would be the best case scenario for him to wind up with a team like the Steelers or even the Seahawks to replace Chris Carson.
All right, Travis, for you, where would you put Williams?
Yeah, I think, you kind of stole where I was going to go with Williams there. I think another team I would look at, you know, depending on what happens this offseason and how they kind of restructure things, maybe the Dolphins even. Just that would be a fun opportunity for him to maybe come in and obviously be the best option there right away. And he has underrated speed. Like, he ran in the 4.5s in high school. So he's got that breakaway speed mixed with the size and receiving opportunity. And so if they really change everything with their quarterback situation, or if Tua kind of they finally give him the reins and just let him, you know, pass the ball around and distribute, I think that could be a pretty good underrated landing spot. One that wouldn't overinflate his stock, I don't think. And no one's thinking, oh yeah, the Dolphins are incredible. And so I think it would be great for every type of fantasy football for him to go there, because it wouldn't be an obvious, oh, slam dunk. And, you know, he rises up to where he's basically undraftable. But you would maybe get him after still guys like Najee Harris and after Travis Etienne, and maybe after another guy who goes to a decent landing spot. But I one of my favorite running back prospects in the class, if you look at his yards after contact numbers, his yards after contact per reception numbers, his just ridiculous scoring ability, as demonstrated this past year, having 20 plus touchdowns, really incredible prospect. And so glad that I actually had him on a couple teams already before this year, because I play, like I mentioned, Debbie fantasy football. Right. Yeah. So having college players years in advance, already locking these guys up. And so thankful to have Javonte in like some deeper leagues where I don't even have to worry about adding him to my team because he's already on it.
Well, let's talk about number four on the list here, who is incredibly versatile, fast, just, you know, a guy who really fits with an offense that has creativity in it. And I think it's Kenny Gainwell of Memphis. So, Travis, when you look at him, who does he remind you of, and where would he be a good fit? Because clearly he's a player you could do a lot with.
Yeah, well, let's just talk about, I'm just prefacing this by saying, going back to the ridiculously high-end comps here.
Yeah,
just ridiculously high-end comps. If everything went perfect and he had basically this entire year to work on his athleticism, to add some weight and maintain that speed. He took the entire season off. So he came off that like 1,500-plus yards season with like 50-plus catches for Memphis. He's an outside run artist. And so I think if you – you know, if he got in perfect shape and got his 40 time down, Jamal Charles is his cap.
Wow.
Like that's the kind of ceiling that he could have if he really spent the last year perfecting his body and turning himself into an NFL athlete. He was not there 2 years ago when he, I guess, 2019, the last time we saw him on a football field playing competitively. But I think that he has that kind of ability. I mean, Mike Norvell and he was really great about getting Gainwell out in space to where he could just make somebody miss and use his speed to get to the second level. And he was incredibly efficient in that scheme. And I think if he goes to another place that is really good at getting hit their backs in space and setting them up to be like a home run hitting nightmare for defenses, I think he could really take off early. But he could also do absolutely nothing because there's really no comp that's really good for him unless he added significant weight or added some elite speed this offseason.
So where would you want to see the Jamal Charles-style player end up then?
I think it wouldn't be perfect, but I think if he went to perhaps the Cardinals, you know, if he was like a – he's basically he could basically be Kenyon Drake, but even better and, and maybe faster. Like, that, you know, that kind of an option in a really high-flying offense that – you know, can spread it out and has a mobile quarterback to kind of set him up and get him into space real quick. I think that would be a good landing spot for him.
All right. How about you, Tags, when you're looking at Gainwell? Where do you think, do you see that same Jamal Charles comp?
We are so in line on this one in a lot of ways. I'm not going to give him Jamal Charles, but a running back that was actually compared to Jamal Charles, so it's fair. CJ Spiller is the guy I had down for
sure.
Him.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a perfect example, right, Tags? Like the high and the low, right? Of okay, you know, this guy could be good. Well, I mean, not that CJ Spiller was bad, but it was limited. Yeah. Right? You had a short window where
he was
very
good. He was a good timeshare running back.
Right.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I view Gainwell. I don't know if he's ever going to be a guy that's going to get 250 carries. You know, I think he'd have to put on a lot of weight to do that. So you kind of look at the teams, and the Cardinals were my ideal landing spot because Gainwell is someone that is going to be used as a wide receiver in the NFL. Like, you're going to line him up in the slot continually, and knowing that the Cardinals want to run four wide receiver sets a lot, he can be used in a variety of different ways. And I think Kingsbury's the type of guy that can find a way to use him. It would also be very beneficial from a fantasy standpoint because the team could move on from Kenyon Drake and kind of rotate Chase Edmonds and Gainwell there. Back there. Other teams that I put down to interested, Patriots, you know, if they get rid of James White, he can fill a role. Now, they have quarterback situation issues where I don't know what they're going to do. We've seen the Raiders look at team players like this, you know, that they last year they tried to do it with Lynn Bowden and then they traded him away. Maybe he wasn't the player that they thought he might be, but Gainwell might be that guy. You know, they're looking for guys that are just athletes that can create, even though they don't have the coaching staff to do it. And then the Packers are another team that should look into him because the Packers obviously lacking some receivers. They have A.J. Dillon as a thumper. They're going to need another back to pair with him. And unless they re-sign, you know, Aaron Jones or Jamal Williams, they have a running back issue in terms of depth. So, the Cardinals were the team that I put down for the show that I wanted to see him go to just because I believe that it would be an offense that would best suit his abilities.
Make it 3 for 3. I think the Cardinals are a great landing spot for him too. No, I do. I do. And that's the one I had written down in my notes too.
That's
when all three of us are agreeing, that's always something everybody now listen, everybody out there for the Cardinals, all the scouts who listen to the show here at Fantasy Pros, go get on that. All right. Last year, but certainly not.
Do we have to talk about him?
Yeah, I think we do.
I have other running backs higher. Like, so hold on a second.
I'm going off what John told me to do, which is go off our Fantasy Pros.
I want to know who Travis has as his number 5 running back. That's what I want.
Okay, Travis, who do you have as your number 5 running back? Is it Chuba Hubbard or is it somebody else?
So yeah, right here, given who we've already taken, I would still go with Chuba Hubbard.
Oh. Yes. Okay, are you happy now, Tex?
I'm not happy, but I'm happy that we could talk about it.
All right, let's talk about Mike's unhappiness, but let's start with you, Travis, first, since you are happy about this and we can let Mike kind of throw in his number 5 here. Where do you see Hubbard? I mean, obviously the speed is there. So where would you like to see him land and who does he remind you of with that speed?
So I think, you know, this is kind of a throwback, but I've been saying that he is kind of a just slightly lighter version of this player for, I don't know, almost 2 years now. I think he reminds me of Amon Green. Like, he has incredible speed, and he's got, like, that kind of probably a little bit too upright running style, you know? Like, Amon Green had that, you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe, like, the low end would be, like, a... TJ Yeldon with more speed, because like he also had that weird pad level thing. Like, I mean, he, like when he get running fast, like he's almost like leaning back a little bit. Like, I think that's who I would comp him to. Because I mean, I think you kind of forget, because Amon Green had like sub 4.4 speed if you believe his pro day time. So he was really, really quick. And I think Chuba Hubbard, he had, you know, Canadian Olympic sprinting upside. Like, he wanted to be an Olympic sprinter. Like, he's that kind of quick. So I think he has that crazy upside given his speed. And another situation where, hey, if he goes to the Cardinals, or if he goes to some scheme that's going to get their guys in space, I think that he could succeed pretty early on. But he's kind of this guy, the tale of two seasons, where we saw this 2,000 plus rusher in 2019, and then this year he wasn't healthy. They had three quarterbacks that they were dealing with. The offensive line was graded way, way lower, and so there's a lot of external factors that kind of, you know, and it was a COVID season. It's just everything layers upon layers that we can make excuses. Maybe it sounds like it's too much of an excuse, but it's just with Chuba Hubbard, he's still a really, really good running back. So I don't think he's like a running back one or two in this class anymore, or running back three even, you know, but I think he is a day two running back with extreme speed. He needs to kind of improve with his contact balance and prove that he can be a more consistent contributor as a receiver, but that's just not how Oklahoma State uses their running backs. But I still do believe in Chuba Hubbard.
All right, Tags, who is your number five?
My number five is Michael Carter, North Carolina. Okay. So, you know, Hubbard is, I don't know, I went in with high expectations for him because, you know, I don't watch college throughout the NFL season, and then I get to the end of it, and it's like I start going through all the players, and I have to do that very quickly. Right. So Hubbard was someone that last year I knew that everybody talked about him coming out, so I had watched him previously, and it was like, okay, I thought he was good, but it was more like, all right, we'll see what happens because he's going to go back to school. And then he went back to school in a year that he probably should have produced even bigger numbers because there were players that opted out, teams that didn't play, whatever, but he did not look good. I mean, I think he's best suited for a zone scheme to cut, like with cutback lanes, because that'll take advantage of that speed you're talking about, because he's not someone that could bang in between the tackles. He's not big enough to do that either, but his pad level is way too high. He lowers his shoulders and his head rather than bringing down those hips, that center of gravity that you see guys like Frank Gore do continually. I didn't like Hubbard. I actually moved him down after I was expecting a lot more, is what I basically came down to. Whereas Carter is not, he's not a guy that's going to be your workhorse running back, but he's someone that I comp to Justin Forsett. And I think that this is spot on. Like, I was so proud when I came up with this one, because Justin Forsett was a guy that was playing a role on a lot of different teams and he was doing it well. And it's just like that Michael Carter kind of does everything well. He's not blessed, you know, with elite athleticism like others in this class are, but he makes everything kind of look easy and he does everything well. And he plays in a very controlled manner and he can pass protect and all that stuff, even for a smaller guy. So Justin Forsett, when he finally got a chance with the Ravens to kind of shine, you know, when there were some injuries in front of him on the depth chart, it's like, all right, we're going to give this guy 15 plus touches, and he made the most of them. So Michael Carter is a good two back that you can pair. So if the Bucs decided that they didn't want to take a running back in that first round and they wanted to wait, pairing someone like Michael Carter with Ronald Jones would make so much sense.
All right, before we move on to the wide receivers, I just want everybody to know I'm very excited because last week I got to hear Dan Harris talk about Magic Spoon. And now I'm getting some sent to me, so I'm very excited about this. And look, everybody out there is always looking for something early in the morning. You got to get your coffee. You got to get the kids ready for their school stuff. You got work stuff. Tags has a primer to write all the time. He needs something quick, something healthy for him. And it's hard because, you know, you want to go to cereal, but cereal's got a lot of carbs and a lot of sugars and a lot of process. But that's where Magic Spoon comes in. Okay, Magic Spoon is what you're looking for. They've released a brand new variety pack. They've got the peanut butter now as a limited edition. It did so well in 2020 that it sold out three times. And now it's part of the variety pack with frosted, fruity, and cocoa, so all kinds of different great flavors. In fact, those are the three things, I think, when we describe Dan Harris, we always say frosted, fruity, and cocoa. We say those three things about Dan. It's got zero sugar, 13, 14 grams of protein, which is what you want in the morning to get you going, only 4 net grams of carbs, and 140 calories per serving. That's what you're looking for. It's keto-friendly, it's gluten-free, it's grain-free, it's soy-free, it's low-carb, it's GMO-free, it's all of those things. So it's time for you to go out there and get some of it too. Go to magicspoon.com/fantasypros. Again, magicspoon.com/fantasypros, and use the promo code fantasypros at checkout to save $5 on your order. Magic Spoon is confident in their product. It's backed 100% that you're going to be happy. They're going to guarantee it. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. So go get your delicious bowl of gluten-free cereal at magicspoon.com/fantasypros. Use the code fantasypros, save $5. And thank you very much, obviously, for listening to the Magic Spoon read, because I don't know about you, Tax. I kind of want some cereal right now. Like now I know why Dan Harris gets so excited about the Magic Spoon. I'm reading it and I'm excited about it. So I'm also excited about the wide receiver. So Travis, let's start with Ja'Marr Chase, because Chase did not play last year, but certainly left his mark in 2019. So I always think it's fascinating when you find a player that you actually have a hard time comping, and I think that always means special. So for me, I have a hard time with the Ja'Marr Chase comp. Where do you go, and where do you want to see him land?
I think the comp for me is, and again, it's super high end if we're looking at early career for this guy, but Odell Beckham Jr. Like, I think he's got that kind of upside. You know, he doesn't have the weird, almost basketball moves with his route running style. Like, he's not like that, but he can take the top off a defense. And if you look at his average depth of target numbers and his catch rate at the depth of target that he was doing it in his crazy explosive season in 2019, he's somebody that can threaten at every single level of the defense. And it is almost impossible to comp him because he was just so freaking dominant and having over 20 receiving touchdowns and what perhaps the best receiving and passing offense in college football history, and doing it at a young age, is just really hard to look at him and go, oh yeah, there's obviously he comps to this guy because he's just so stinking good. And, and when you mix in a few like production metrics and typical production profiles, like how many times you see a guy just like explode and then like, I'm just going to take the year off. Like there's never, that's just not a thing. So one of my metrics that I built for RotoViz is the adjusted production index. And as far as like second year players, like he was, you know, 99th percentile, like second year breakout kind of players, like way up at the very top. Like even after his sophomore season, had he entered the draft then, he would have already been over an 80th percentile NFL prospect at that time. So doing that at such an early age and dominating at every level of the field, he's just so, so good. So I think if you pair him, if he goes like to the Bengals, like if they snag him really early top 10 picks, and you pair him with Joe Burrow, that would be a lot of fun to see that tandem go off at the next level.
Tags might be concerned though for all his T. Higgins shares. So yeah. Chase, for you, what's the upside and where'd you like to see him land, Tags?
I mean, I don't think he's going to last to the Bengals, to be fair. I mean, now we're starting to hear more and more teams moving up, and like potentially even at 3, the Dolphins are, a lot of people are mocking Chase to the Dolphins at 3.
Wow.
But yeah, the Bengals do have a lot of other needs when it comes to their offensive line and their defense to protect Joe Burrow. I mean, as much fun as it would be, I think that
it would be.
From a football standpoint, I think it would make sense for them to go a different direction. But one team that I think that everyone should be coming around on is the Eagles, just because they just released DeSean Jackson. They're cutting Alshon Jeffrey when the new league year starts. So Jalen Reagor and Ja'Marr Chase would make for a phenomenal duo. And it's almost like that thing where it's like, hey, if Jalen Hurts is going to be good, he's going to be good now because he's going to have these players available to him. And if he's not good with these players, he's never going to be good. It is a new offense. So basically they're just rebuilding everything. The tight ends aren't going to mean as much in this offense without Doug Peterson there. So I do believe that Ja'Marr Chase is probably, I'd say that's the latest he falls to now is probably 6 at to the Eagles, because he is getting a lot of, you know, high praise and rightfully so. And he's actually put on some weight and muscle from last offseason, which is a good thing if he wants to be that number one, that possession style receiver. And my comp for him, DeAndre Hopkins. And I say, I'm saying it because like when I first started watching him, I thought it was going to be Beckham. And then I was like, you know what? Beckham generates a little bit more separation in the intermediate routes. Beckham is a better route runner, I think, than Chase. But Chase is so phenomenal in short space areas. Like in terms of like when the ball gets to him, there's always like this half yard to a yard separation where it's like it's not by accident. Like the defenders are on top of him and he has this slight push off move that he does that is phenomenal. It's so subtle and he just does it so naturally that it's just it's fun to watch Ja'Marr Chase play football. It really is, because there's little things that he does as a wide receiver, because I'm usually a route runner guy. Like, he's not a Jerry Jeudy. He's not a Calvin Ridley. He's not those guys who I have loved in years past. But Ja'Marr Chase is special in his own way. And I think that's the thing with DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins is not a phenomenal separator. You could tell me all you want, but he's not. He's a guy that you can trust in those tight situations, those contested catches. He's a guy that you throw the ball to. Incredibly strong hands, can win at every level of the field. I think Chase is a better deep threat than DeAndre Hopkins, but Ja'Marr Chase is special, very intelligent, and he has that. And I said this before on another show, but he has that wide receiver one swag. He has it. You know what I mean? Like, he's a guy that he knows he belongs. It's something that AJ Brown, when I watched AJ Brown in college, I'm like, this dude just has that swagger about him where you just know he's gonna walk on the field and it's like he owns it. He owns you.
I love when, you know, the play breaks down, that Hopkins is always that guy that finds a way to make the play. Mm-hmm. Like that's the thing I always loved about Hopkins. And you see him and you go, nobody should be able to do what he just did.
Right.
So that's some high praise right there. Let's talk about some high praise that went to the Heisman Trophy winner too, is Devontae Smith of Alabama, who, you know, I'm just from watching, you know, I just watched a bunch of more film before the show today, just trying to, like, you know, get up to speed again on everybody. Yeah. A little fresh film. That's what you got to get in the morning. You get your magic spoon, your fresh film, and then you're ready for the show. But I started to see some Keenan Allen in there at times. And I know that might sound a little strange because people think of Keenan Allen as like, well, he's more of a possession wide receiver or something. But there's certain things that he does, those little intangible things that I always think are just great. And it's why he has such huge totals every year, because he does the little things. And I see Devontae Smith doing those same things. So, Travis, where do you see him? Who does he remind you of? And where do you think he's going to end up possibly landing in 21?
So I hate to always just comp a player to, you know, a player on their same college team. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to do it again because I just don't care right now. So Devontae Smith, I think I would say he could be Calvin Ridley. Like, that would be his ceiling. Obviously, he's going to get knocked because he's too skinny. And the dude is really stinking skinny. But like super skinny. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, what he was able to do, and you talked about that next level separation and just that creativity and just finding ways to be always open. He's just right. Mr. Always Open. And he was, even dating back to his freshman year when he was still having to split targets with one Calvin Ridley and Jerry Jeudy and Henry Ruggs. And so, like, I just don't really have many questions from a film standpoint with Devontae, other than maybe weight questions, you know, because when you're talking about a guy who has more receiving touchdowns than any other Power 5 wide receiver in history, yes, he's coming out in his fourth year. Yes, he's a little bit older for a rookie if you're talking about, like, analytical bends of wide receivers and who's hit at his age and at his weight. And that's why he's almost an impossible comp, because he's just Devontae Smith. He is nobody else.
Yeah.
But, like, I think with Calvin Ridley, though, like, he was a little bit older, and people nitpicked his age when he came out. But the thing about Ridley is he was like 19 in high school. So, like, it really wasn't his fault. And Devontae, it's like he's coming out after his senior year. It's not really his fault. He could have come out last year, and he was already, in many people's opinion, the best producing and the best wide receiver, even when Jerry Jeudy was still on Alabama, when Henry Ruggs was still on Alabama, when Jalen Waddle was still there, and he was way out producing Waddle, especially before this past year and the early few weeks of the 2020 season, where they were kind of splitting targets this past season. But Devontae Smith, man, he's a yak monster, consistently up there in terms of yak per target, like top 10 in the entire nation, I think every single year except for his freshman season. And so I don't really have any worries, and I'd love to see him go to the Lions. I believe Marvin Jones, you know, I think he's a free agent now, and so really interesting situation. New quarterback there, obviously, but, you know, we can pick apart Goff and what he's been, but he's fed some wide receivers, and he likes those guys that can get some yak for him, and because it's not like he can hit him downfield, and and Devontae Smith can take the ball and just run with it.
Yeah, and it's that ability to get open. That's what I. Yeah. That's my Keenan Allen thing. Because I always feel like when you look at the Keenan Allen totals, you say, "How does he have so many yards every year and how many catches?" Well, because he's always open. He somehow always finds that way, and that's the same thing that I see about Smith. Now, what do you see tags about Smith for you, and where do you think the ideal, at least in your mind, landing spot might be for him in the NFL draft?
Yeah, Devonta Smith is a wizard. I mean,
he is. No, he's a wizard ninja.
It's kind of remarkable too. Like, you watch it and you're just like, okay, if you legitimately just didn't pay attention to any of the weight stuff and you just watch the kid play football, he's so good. Like, I think he would be up there with Chase if he had the size that Chase does. But the weight concerns are real, because you look at historical comps and you say, historically, this is a problem. His listed weight was 174. He reportedly didn't weigh in at the Senior Bowl because some people said he was under 170, which, again, I don't know why he would have lost weight. But if you look back to someone like Marvin Harrison, and again, we're talking about a Hall of Fame wide receiver, but Marvin Harrison was someone that, 6 foot, like 175 pounds, roughly, he made it work. And there are outliers in everything. And, if you're an NFL GM, this is the way I think about it, right? If you're an NFL GM, if you miss on a player, you don't want to be able to miss because the guy just sucked because he was bad at football. All right. So if you draft Devonta Smith and he's phenomenal, right? And then he gets injured and then basically his career ends, whatever the case may be, you can live with that as a GM. You're not going to get buried for it. Okay. If you draft someone, if you take a chance on someone else over him, he's going to make you pay, because if he were guaranteed a career that he did not get injured, Devonta Smith's going to be a star. Like, he is extremely good. Just watching him play football, he belongs in that wide receiver one conversation. Calvin Ridley was a name that I put in there. I don't think that he's quite the stop and go route runner that Ridley is, but Marvin Harrison, like, that comparison's real. There's a reason people are talking about it, is because the kid is just so good. And I really do hope a team that they kind of look past that and say, hey, you know what? We know that over the long period of time. Or NFL history, I should say, wide receivers typically don't fare very well if you're under 175 pounds or whatever. But there are outliers, and based on the way that he's played, he deserves an opportunity, and he's probably going to get drafted in the first round. The team that I put him to is the Giants, right outside the top 10, just because they're...
That's a great spot.
Yeah, because if they can move Sterling Shepard back into the slot, get rid of Golden Tate, and then have, Slayton out there, and then, again, Daniel Jones has all the weapons he needs to succeed with Saquon Barkley back, I think that would be an ideal landing spot for Devonta Smith to kind of be brought in, because he's not going to be that guy that's relied upon for 140 targets right away, but he's going to play a big part in that offense.
Now, Rashad Bateman from Minnesota, look, speed, size, I mean, the guy's got all of it, so... Travis, where do you think he might really be able to help an NFL team? And in your opinion, if you had to kind of, put that comp on him of saying, okay, at least the upside might be of Bateman, what would it be?
I think I like to compare him to Tyler Boyd, that kind of player. Like, I don't think he's the absolute ceiling play necessarily at the position, but I think because of his route running ability and ways, he wins in very specific ways on the field, especially out of slants and double moves and specific out breaking routes and things like that. I love Rashad Bateman, but I don't think he's like a ceiling play as much as Chase would be, or as some other guys in this class. Mm-hmm. But I think he could be a really trustworthy, high volume guy in the right spot. And just like Boyd, he had a really early breakout age in college. He's entering the draft early. He analytically speaking, for us nerds that like to live in spreadsheets, like, he checks like all the boxes and has done so for 2 years already. And so, Boyd was that same way. I think we forget that he came out and he was so early. He was so productive for Pitt. Similarly, Bateman is as well. And I think if you want to plug him in a situation with a quarterback who likes to throw the routes that he wins inconsistently, more so than maybe anybody else in college, I think you pair him with Tua Tagovailoa at the Dolphins. Like, Tua Tagovailoa was like the slant pass artist, like that. he'd hit Henry Ruggs or whoever it was on a slant, and they just go for a billion miles, or he'd hit him on a double move deep, and they'd finish it for a touchdown. And I think that's exactly what Rashad Bateman did for Minnesota with kind of worst quarterback play in Tanner Morgan. And so if you give him a quarterback that really hits him in stride in the ways that he wins, he can turn into a volume guy and a safe floor guy, but maybe not like an absolute top tier wide receiver one for you in fantasy.
Now, Tags, how about you for Bateman?
What's funny, you already talked about this player, and I did not get it with Devonta Smith, but I get it with Rashad Bateman. It's Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen is the guy that I always come back to with him. Very
right now. It's funny you say that, Mike, because it wasn't, it was, physically, yeah, I'm with, like, he looks and feels more like Keenan Allen. And then, like, I felt like the ability of the guy is always open, which is always like, so it's very funny that we kind of like crossed over there on that. But I agree with you wholeheartedly about the physicalness.
Yeah, he's just a smart route runner. He's not an incredible athlete. You know, I don't think he's as talented as Keenan Allen is as a route runner, but I think his intelligence and understanding how to work a cornerback, I think that plays into his separation. Now, he did play at Minnesota. He didn't play at Alabama or anything like that. But he understands things, how to use things to his advantage. He's a hands catcher. I love that about him. Doesn't rely on his body. He snags the ball away from his body. He played on the perimeter most of the time, but I think that he's also someone that would benefit from a slot heavy role. So a team that needs, you basically want to look at a team that's going to need a player that can play anywhere. They need him to be that alpha. And I think Rashad Bateman has it in him. So right now, I think a team, if they don't franchise or if they can't make it work with Allen Robinson, I think the Bears are a team to watch for him. Because the Bears do need that. They have, you know, Anthony Miller has basically, he's never earned it with Matt Nagy. It's just not happening right now. He's going to be in the final year of his deal in 2021. There's no sense in predicting a breakout with him anymore. Darnell Mooney was a piece for sure, but he's not a number one. He's that wide receiver, that field stretcher. Whereas Bateman can play all over the field. I kind of like the fit a lot. I think Washington would make some sense to pair him with Terry McLaurin, the Titans behind AJ Brown. Like, there's a lot of places in that 20 to basically the back end, mid to back end of the first round. I think Bateman belongs in that conversation. And if he does fall into a situation where he starts right away, I think he could be fantasy relevant right away, just because, again, he's not someone that you're going to have to rely on physical traits or you're going to have to rely on him to learn more routes. Basically, he has the smarts to do it. He has the physical ability to do it. He can walk in and contribute in week one.
All right, let's talk about Jaylen Waddle. And obviously, Travis had his moment where he said, okay, here I go, I'm going to make a big comp, and Tags had his, and I guess it's my turn now officially, so I'm going to do this because I'm watching the film this morning too on him, and I've seen him play, you know, this past year and years past too, and it's just, there's moments he has that just are very Davante Adams-like in terms of what he does and how he does it, and it's a huge thing, especially, you know, Adams coming off such an incredible season, but he has those kind of moments. Now, I don't know if he can be that guy consistently. We'll see. It's always tough, Travis, when you have to gauge guys coming out of college in a great program where they have, you know, so many weapons and they can do so much because everybody looks great because it's impossible to defend against them. But when you watch Jaylen Waddle, what do you see and where would you like to see him play in the NFL?
I think every single year from now until the end of time, there's going to be at least one wide receiver that gets comped to DeSean Jackson in every single draft class. But I think that it actually makes sense to me that it's DeSean Jackson is the comp for Jaylen Waddle. And it's because, I mean, not only are they kind of smaller sliders, super fast guys that can make a difference. Once the ball's in their hand, it's just like anything can happen. But they're also super dynamic returners. Like, I think that we could have some similarly ridiculous highlights in the return game at the next level from Jaylen Waddle as we have done with DeSean Jackson. And I know recent memory, you know, all we remember is DeSean Jackson getting hurt and missing games and not really doing anything crazy. But his ceiling, like 2012, 2013, and 2014, like I think like with the Eagles, early Washington, sure. Like he was really good and his ceiling was high. But I think the floor is absolutely atrocious for this guy as well. Like just for fantasy, I mean, just because, again, just like with Devontae Smith for different reasons, Waddle never really broke out production wise for us. And there's again, like our spreadsheets and like our players to actually produce in college. And yes, he was competing with some other really good wide receivers that went on to see some really high draft capital. You know, it just feels like there's a lot of excuses there. So we'll see how he gets plugged in. I think the ceiling is DeSean Jackson, who, by the way, is like low key, like top 40 or 50 all time in receiving yards.
I was gonna say, isn't he the all time leader in receiving yards for the Eagles? If memory serves?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. So it's
not bad.
You know, recent memory, people like to knock and they think of like the 33-year-old version of DeSean Jackson. But man, early career, dude. If that's a ceiling, I'm all in. But I'm a little bit hesitant just because if he hits, it's gonna be. He's going to create a new standard. Like if he does,
you know what's crazy? You know what's crazy though is that DeSean Jackson, his numbers, yeah, they're phenomenal. If you look at him at all time, I think he was a better football player than his numbers even show. Like that dude,
I think that's fair.
He had such an impact. He had an impact in game planning.
He was a momentum guy.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, so for you, what do you want to put on Waddle tags?
All right, Waddle, I like him. I like him a lot. He plays bigger than he is. And that's why my comp for him is like Steve Smith type player. Yeah, like he's a scrappy dude, but he has more speed. And that's why I think you can actually compare him to Tyreek Hill in a way. He doesn't have the cuts that Tyreek Hill does, which is why I don't want to put that comp on him. But I think he's somewhere in the middle of those two players, right? Like Steve Smith was a good route runner. He couldn't stretch the field as much as Tyreek Hill does. But it's kind of, I feel like a mix between those with Jaylen Waddle, because the guy, speed, you're not going to keep up with him. Like, good luck. If he gets one step ahead of you, he's gone. You're not going to catch up to him. He doesn't lose any speed in his cuts moving upfield. Now he rounds him out a little bit too much on his underneath stuff, which is why he can get there though. Like, there are definitely things that I can see where he can get there. But he does return those punts. But what I love is that he helps out his quarterback so much. Like, you see guys that are his size and move the way that he does. Typically, it's like they need the ball dropped in their breadbasket. You look at like Tutu Atwell out of Louisville. You see someone like that, and it's like he needs the ball dropped correctly. You know, like, it's got to go there. Jaylen Waddle's not that dude. Like, Jaylen Waddle's like, hey, if you underthrow me, I'm going to go up and get the ball. Like, and that's the mentality that someone like Steve Smith had, where even though he was a shorter receiver, he was going to ball out. Like, he was going to go out there and he was going to make it happen. I feel that way about Jaylen Waddle. And it's just, it really stinks because Devonta Smith, you know, you didn't see his, you saw play obviously beforehand, but you saw in 2020, like, the ceiling, right? But Jaylen Waddle, the guys that he played with in college, it's just stupid. Like, it's stupid competition that he had the entire time. So when people talk about, you know, market share and what they did, I don't pay attention to college stats. To be honest, I almost find them meaningless. And I understand that a lot of people rely on that. But I think there's so many factors that are built into it. And I think this was actually working against Jaylen Waddle. I think he's a star. But I do think that he has to land in the correct team that understands how to use a player like him. You know, the Patriots are a team that traditionally love to move their wide receivers around the field. They love to move them in the slot. They need a wide receiver like Waddle because they don't have,
they need a playmaker.
Yeah, they need someone who, it's like, we need a splash play. Who can deliver that? And Jaylen Waddle would change that immediately for them. N'Keal Harry was never that guy. Harry was a bad pick. But Jaylen Waddle, if they took Jaylen Waddle at 15, I think that's where they're at. I would be on board with that as a Patriots fan. Now, there's a lot of moves that the Patriots kind of need to make and figure out the quarterback situation, but I do like Waddle quite a bit. He's a game breaker.
As a Patriots fan, I approve that message, Mike. I just want you to know. Rondell Moore, Purdue's Rondell Moore. Look, when I watch him, he seems like the lower half is more built like a running back, Travis. Yeah. I don't know if that kind of plays for you too. It's almost weird because we talk about some of these wide receivers and the types you see sometimes, you know, they're actually, you know, very thin in the legs, but you look at a guy like Rondell Moore from Purdue side, and sometimes you look at him physically, like, he's kind of built more like a running back. So in your opinion, what kind of comp does he draw comparisons to? And also, where do you think he might be a good fit?
Sure. Well, real quick on the stats thing. So I ascribe to both film and analytics. Yep. I use both in my analysis. Yep. Yeah. And so I think they definitely mean something, but I think at the same time, Jaylen Waddle might just be an exception. Like, you know, like they're those guys that they can be that exception. It's hard to make the decision from a purely analytic standpoint that they're going to be that exception. And there's not really like an objective reason to make that decision. But at the same time, it just looks like and feels like Waddle could be that guy. But Rondell Moore, he's a guy that broke out from a statistical standpoint as a true freshman for my alma mater of Purdue. And I was so excited. I remember getting so pumped about him even before he played a snap. I don't know if I think everybody's probably seen this at some point, but like, he was squatting 600 pounds the summer before he even played a down of college. And this is a dude who's like, you know, at the time he was like 5'9", 180, you know, and just squatting 600 pounds. He has that lower body build of the running back. He's got that ridiculous burst. He goes from 0 to 1,000 miles per hour in about a tenth of a second. And so I really love Rondell Moore's game. I think he's like Percy Harvin, but potentially even more explosive. Like that kind of, like, I think he's just ridiculous. He was not really afforded any real opportunity to, really in the past two seasons, to do much with and really utilize his skill set, because Purdue's quarterbacks have been terrible. they kind of chuck the ball down and hope something good happens with David Bell, or they hit Rondell Moore like negative 2 yards, ADOT, and like hope something happens. And so teams just were keying on him after his ridiculous, you know, 2,200 all-purpose yards, true freshman season back in 2018. And so I think he's somebody that can absolutely explode, and I'd love to see him just be used incredibly creatively. I know a lot of people like LaVisca Chenault, but I think if he goes to the Jaguars and he's like Urban Meyer's, you know, like 20, I guess it was 2018, Paris Campbell, like that high volume, just get him all over the field, just right. Get the ball in his hands type guy. And then he has Trevor Lawrence throwing the ball to him. Like that looks like that could be a lot of fun. Or if you put him at the Packers and had Aaron Rodgers actually have a receiver with some speed for once. And too. So that would be. That would be a blast.
How about you, Tags? What are your thoughts on Moore?
Moore is someone that I saw a Tyreek Hill comparison on him. I was like, no, stop. Like I actually got more Golden Tate feel from him than anything. And what's funny is like people forget Golden Tate was like a low 4.4 guy. And, you know, you go back to his tape at Notre Dame and he was someone that legitimately was used as a field stretcher. As his career has gone on, he's changed into that pit bull style, you know, over the slot guy. And I think Rondell Moore could play that role. I think he could play multiple roles. And that's why my landing spot for him was the Panthers. I think the Panthers would make sense if they move on from Curtis Samuel to find a player who can play that, take some handoffs because he is built like a running back in a little bit. He can absorb some hits. He's dealt with some injuries, though. But he's a guy that can be used all over the field. And it seems like that's what they want out there. And they figured out a way how to use Curtis Samuel as the year went on. He got better and better. So I'm curious to see where he lands. I don't think that he's someone that you could just drop in any offense and he's going to succeed. I think that you need a certain offense for him to work especially from like a fantasy perspective. So I'll be watching where he lands. Like there's players, that's where like the drop off for me is after the top four wide receivers. It's like, okay, landing spot's going to matter a lot. You know, Travis, you talked about Deshaun Jackson and how, you know, there's always a count for him. I think Dwayne Eskridge is someone that you could talk about like a Deshaun Jackson type player too. Again, it's just finding the landing spot for those guys that are outside the top four. I think that's going to matter most. Like where, sometimes in the past, I've leaned too much on landing spot when it comes to like major talent. Like AJ Brown was someone I loved him as a talent, hated the landing spot. And was I right to hate the landing spot with Marcus Mariota? Yeah, I was. And, you know, AJ Brown probably would have never become AJ Brown if Marcus Mariota was still the quarterback. But at the same time, I downgraded him too much on that. So I'm not going to do that with the top four. But the guys that I'm not completely sold on, landing spot will matter.
All right, fair enough. All right, before we move on to the quarterbacks, I want to tell all of our friends who are listening about Pristine Auction. They have daily auctions ending nightly with hundreds of lots, tons of cool items for sports stuff, for wrestling stuff, for nerd stuff, everything for your man cave or your lady cave. And there's always something for every fan of whatever it might be. I'm actually on Pristine Auction now, and I am bidding on a Ric Flair piece. It's a nice little autograph like Ric Flair, because God knows, everybody knows I'm a big wrestling guy, and they've got some great stuff there too. So they have authenticity, which is so important. They guarantee all the authenticity of the items. It's affordable. It's fun to go in there and bid on cool stuff like that. It's quick and free and easy to register. So I want to tell you how you can. You go to pristineauction.com, right? And you put in the code FANTASYPROS and you will get a $5 credit. So it's very simple. You just register right there. You put in that registration code. Next thing you know, you're up and bidding for all these really cool items. Again, go to pristineauction.com. That's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. Let's get to the QBs. And guys, look, I'm not trying to be hyperbolic here, but it's just plain and simple. I like to think of myself as the quarterback guy for the Black Book every year. I do all the quarterback write-ups for all the rookies too. And I got to tell you, like, I haven't felt this good about a quarterback prospect since Peyton Manning, where I just feel like, yep, like this guy, like he's the guy, and he's mobile. And Tags and I were talking about that too. People don't give him enough credit of how mobile he is and how quick he is and a smart runner also. Mm-hmm. And he is so good, and I watched his little pro day workout last week, and you watch him make these throws, and everything just looks so good. And yeah, I understand it's in shorts and all that stuff too, but look, I know the goods when I see the goods. Trevor Lawrence is the goods. I mean, I don't think any of us think he's not going to go one. But I don't know if we've seen anything like Trevor Lawrence, because he has all the acumen of a Peyton Manning, but all the athleticism of some of the modern day quarterbacks we've seen in the last 5 years. So Travis, I don't know what you want to, you know, we think we know the landing spot here. Is there anything else we can add about Trevor Lawrence? Maybe let's talk about his expectations instead. Like, if you're going to put a number, like put some numbers out there, touchdowns, yards for passing yards for him in year one.
Year one, for Trevor Lawrence could be anything because
well, that's not helpful, Travis. No, come
just,
on.
Just like it could be anything. Like his ceiling is just there might not be one. It's somebody that we've known since he was 16 years old that he was going to be a Pro Bowl, maybe All Pro type quarterback. Like this has been somebody that he and Justin Fields have been God's gift to the quarterback position for 5 years. Like we knew, hey, this is quarterback one, this is quarterback two. I know some people like to disagree about Justin Fields being quarterback two, but we've known this for 5 years, guys. And like Trevor Lawrence is ridiculous. He's way more mobile than you think. He's way more accurate than you think. He is not overrated. I've seen some gross takes here lately, just talking about even like Zach Wilson being up above him, and it's just blasphemy.
Stop.
It's just like just ridiculous. Put it away.
I hate people who are bored and like, want to get clicked on because they said something. Yeah. That's what that is. Ignore that noise.
It's like the dude came in and as a true freshman usurped a guy who just took Clemson to the playoff the year before, and was like, "Hey, I'm already the best guy on the roster. I should probably go from high school to the NFL." And had like a 90th percentile adjusted yards per pass attempt clip as a true freshman, and then just only got better. Like you think you couldn't get better, and then he did again. And then, oh yeah, by the way, I can outrun all your linebackers and even some of your safeties and finish a long touchdown run. So Trevor Lawrence, I'm thinking like 35 plus touchdowns in his first year and 4,500 passing yards.
Wow,
like,
45. Wow. I was going to go 41.
Not even hyperbole. Like I'm not just saying
it
to say
it.
It's like, It's the dude is going to be given the keys and he's got some weapons already and he's just going to go and they're going to have to be throwing because the Jags are still the Jags. And so I think he's going to have a lot of ridiculous numbers.
Tags, I know you like Lawrence as much as we do. So just give me your numbers because at this point, what more can
That's
be said?
Thing, Lawrence. So if you look at it, Joe Burrow, like he got hurt after 10 games, but if you took his numbers and extrapolated him over 16, he would have thrown for 4,300. Justin Herbert missed the first game. He threw for 4,336. Now,
it's true.
The 35 touchdowns, that's the bold part. I could see the yardage 100%. The 35 touchdowns, if he does that in his first year, I will be impressed. And I think that honestly, Justin Herbert he's probably the closest comp we could have just because Herbert is
statistically
he is that tall mold of a quarterback, the guy that has some mobility, but he's not as good. I've actually seen that debate. Have you guys seen that where someone was saying if you had an NFL franchise and you had Herbert, would you trade him for the number one overall pick? I would. Man. I'd take Lawrence.
Yeah.
I would take Lawrence over Herbert.
Probably would.
Even what I've seen out of Herbert, I would still take
Lawrence.
But
it's Lawrence pretty remarkable.
I've seen enough Lawrence to feel really good about Lawrence.
Right, and Lawrence, I mean, the guy's so good. I mean, he's going to the Jags, we know that. And I said, immediately walking into the league, he's going to be a top 15 fantasy quarterback. I'm interested to see what they do throughout the rest of the draft because they have, you know, four picks inside the top 45, if I'm not mistaken. So they're a team that's going to add around him. I'm curious to see what this roster looks like, including the left tackle, because their starting left tackle, Cam Robinson, is a free agent. I don't know if they're going to re-sign him or what, but there's definitely some work to be done, but Lawrence is going to be a good one.
I still have some skepticism about Urban Meyer personally, but that's my own thing. I got to get over that. Justin Fields, Ohio State, look, terrific season for him, no doubt about that. Incredibly athletic quarterback. He does a lot of good things. Great athlete. I guess here's my thing. When I look at Fields, I look at a guy, too, who needs to get a little bit better at looking off DBs. He tends to get locked in from what I've seen a little bit too much. And you can get away with that in college when you have great talent. You can just lock in and just have that better guy beat the other guy on the other side. In the NFL, it's going to eat you up. So that's one level of improvement that I think he can go out there and get. But in terms of comp, Travis, where do you see Justin Fields in your mind?
You know, this may sound lazy, but it's not, I promise. It's like he's a Cam Newton light with a better arm and more accuracy.
A lot more accuracy.
Like, yeah, a lot more
accuracy. I hope so for his
like,
sake.
Like, because he has, he could add even a little bit more weight and be even a more annoying runner to try to defend against. And he can really stay up in the pocket and he's not afraid to stand in there and just fight off a defensive lineman that's got 50 pounds on him. He doesn't care. He's going to stand in there and take a hit. And hopefully he stays healthy with that mindset, but he can fling it with the best of them. And like I said, he had all the pressure in the world. He had his own freaking Netflix show, for goodness sakes. Like when he was 16.
Who doesn't now? Honestly, let's be honest. Who doesn't have? I mean, Tags has got one, for God's sake.
Oh boy.
They just follow him around.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, and so, I mean, he had all the pressure on. He goes to Georgia, and for some reason, Kirby Smart's like, yeah, I'm going to go with Jake Fromm instead of Justin Fields, and that sounds like a great idea. And And yeah, that worked out. And then Justin Fields in his first season shows up and is immediately like the second best passer in all of college football, and just wipes out defenses just left and right, has almost basically a perfect season, over 40 touchdowns to just 3 interceptions. And just like I said, similar to Trevor Lawrence, coming in and have a 93rd percentile adjusted yard per pass attempt clip there. Just incredibly efficient as a passer and rusher. And I think he's only going to get better. We've only seen a guy, you know, he hasn't had 3 full seasons of action. We've only seen 22 full starting games of Justin Fields. He could get even better. I think the ceiling is almost limitless for him. I think the short term might, you know, depending on where he lands, if he goes to Jets, that stinks, his career's over. But if he goes to the Falcons or somebody else where, you know, they're not terrible and they're not going to ruin him, it could be a lot of fun for him. And he could be a 20 something touchdowns in his first year and maybe a half dozen rushing touchdowns to go with it.
Tags, where would you put Fields and what's the upside?
I mean, I have Fields going to the Falcons at 4 right now, just because I don't see the Jets. But that's the thing, I'm not doing trades yet. I think a team, if the Jets stay at 2, I say they're going to take Fields. I don't think Wilson's going to go over him. I think this is all nonsense as far as I'm concerned. I don't understand it, but I think Fields will go number 2, whether it be the Jets or someone else that trades up into that pick. So you know, if he were to fall to the Falcons, that's a problem, because he's not going to start in year 1. They're going to start Matt Ryan. They're going to try to trade him after the year, in season, whatever the case may be. But Fields is someone that I struggled with a comp for him, because I don't want to put him in Russell Wilson territory, because I don't think he's Russell Wilson. His accuracy when he sets his feet is really freaking good. He can make throws from different angles. But the reason I don't want to use it is because Russell Wilson is special, incredibly special. And I think people underestimate him all the time, is that he's got that mobility. Fields has mobility similar to Russell Wilson. However, when Fields feels pressure, he becomes a runner. Russell Wilson doesn't. Russell Wilson is a guy that running for him is the last desperate option. He does not want to run. He doesn't. He wants to show off his arm. And they both have incredible accuracy. I obviously Wilson's the better, but he's almost like a worse version of Russell Wilson. Cam Newton is more like a physical presence that it's just so he was not a quarterback. he was a quarterback, no. But he wasn't. Where it was really difficult for me to find a comp for Fields, but he's a Russell Wilson style quarterback that just doesn't have
the gravitas in the pocket yet.
He doesn't. And Russell Wilson had it immediately.
And once again, he did have it immediately. And that kind of goes back to my earlier note about Fields, which is, again, being able to see the field differently. And I think the confidence of when you start to see the field properly and be able to look one way and then turn to look the other way, that keeps the defense is honest. It gives you a little bit more confidence too of what you're doing with the ball, instead of just locked in. If that thing's not there, then you panic and run. And I think that's kind of symptomatic of Fields. And I had a tough time putting a comp on him too. I kind of like taking those two things together and saying, yeah, okay, athleticism like Cam Newton, but you know, more kind of like if he can develop properly in the pocket, maybe there's like a Russell Wilson sort of upside there. Let's talk about Trey Lance for a second here, guys, because you know, big, strong, fast, quick release. He has a lot of raw athleticism too, which every time, you know, going back a couple years ago when I used to watch Josh Allen tape, all I saw was this raw athleticism. I was like, man, if this kid can just harness all these goods, man, this could be a really special guy. When you're looking at Trey Lance, Travis, what do you see, or who do you see, and where do you want to see him?
Yeah, so he might be somebody that I would comp to like a Deshaun Watson, but maybe even slightly more athletic. Like, I mean, when you look at what he can do with his legs, but as a passer as well, it's just, he's got a lot going for him. It's really hard to gauge how good he really was, because we're talking about an FCS level quarterback and competition. But when you look at how perfect his year was, I guess it was 2019. I mean, 28 touchdowns to 0 interceptions and over 1,000 rushing yards. That just, it's like a video game quarterback. It's like somebody hopped on NCAA in 2014 and just hey, I'm going to, you know, if I throw a pick, I'm going to reset my Xbox and try again. But he did it perfect and just had an incredible season. And then this year, he only played one game, and it was against Central Arkansas, and it was okay. And so, what do you do with that? Because it's very, very limited resume as a starter. He's got a bunch of rollout boots and runs, and it looks like he could fit, and I think he would actually fit really well with the Falcons and what Arthur Smith might want him to do. He feels like an Arthur Smith kind of quarterback to me. And so that would be, if it's not Fields, Lance would be the quarterback I'd want to land there. But man, he is a lot of fun. I just, it would be almost impossible to predict him as a successful NFL quarterback, given his resume.
How about you, Tags, when you're looking at Lance, what do you see?
Yeah, I saw a little bit of that Josh Allen you were talking about. I also saw some like Colin Kaepernick to him.
Yeah, same kind of thing. Raw athleticism, like if you could just harness it all for good, then you're in a good shape.
Right, and there's shades of that, right? There's shades of what can be like a player that can't be stopped. You know, when Kaepernick was at his best, it was like, how do you stop this guy? You know, Josh Allen was that way this year. But then you also seen shades of Trey Lance where it was like, even when he came and played the one game this year, it was like, it was bad. It was real bad. And it was against bad competition too. It's a game that he really should have dominated. So there's definitely question marks around Trey Lance, but when you draft someone like him, you understand that what you're drafting. You don't, you say, I'm not getting a Trevor Lawrence. I'm not getting someone that's polished that's going to start right from day one. You're drafting a guy that you hope that he can sit for a year. Like we talked about Patrick Mahomes in a similar fashion, right? Like if you go back to that draft class, I know so many people want to give the Bears crap now about what they did. But if you go back and look at draft boards back then, Deshaun Watson and Trubisky were 1-2. They were on almost all boards, 90% of them, where Patrick Mahomes was considered, and I said this, is that he had the highest ceiling of all the quarterbacks, but he had to rein him in. You had to like legit, like get, it was, you know, he had that gunslinger mentality.
Sure. Where
I feel like Trey Lance is a guy that it's like, there could be a major reward for you in this, but there could also be a major disappointment if he's reverted. It's almost like if he had a Jordan Love type effect, where Jordan Love, if you go back to 2018, he had a good season. I still didn't think he was a can't miss player, but then 2019 he regressed, and it was like, okay, well, let's go back to talk about the 2018 film. No, these are young kids; they have to progress. That's all you want out of quarterbacks, is to progress. And one game, I can't say we should judge him on one game, but at the same time, there are question marks because of it. So I believe he's walking in as a backup. I think the Panthers are a team. If they don't land Deshaun Watson like they want, or if they don't trade up or whatever the case may be, landing Lance would make a lot of sense because they have Bridgewater under contract for 2 more years. They have an out in his contract after this year. So if Lance is ready after one year, they can go to him in 2022. So the Panthers are the team I see him going to.
And Mahomes sat. And Mahomes sat. Everybody forgets, you know, sat for a whole year
behind Alex Smith.
Behind Alex Smith with a great quarterback kind of mentor, you know, guru, and Andy Reid. Yeah. I mean, it's not an accident, you know, that sometimes takes time. It might be best for him to sit for a year. And, you know, I mean, Allen sat for the first half of a season at the very least. Zach Wilson's the next guy on our list here. And, you know, for me, look, strong arm, mobile quarterback. For me, that, I know this is not going to get everybody super excited, but I see when Ryan Fitzpatrick was with Buffalo, like this guy who like he can make plays and he's got a good arm and he's got some, you know, he's got some guts. And that's what I see. I don't know if I see too much more than that. I know some people just love Zach Wilson, but in your opinion, where do you put him, Travis? And when you're kind of evaluating him and where you think he'd be a good landing spot and what kind of quarterback you think he'll be?
Yeah, I know it's BYU and they're independent, and so you think that they're kind of like in that Notre Dame category, but they're really not. If you're looking at this past season, like they kind of had to like redo their whole schedule, and it was a mess of a season for them. But if you look at the schedule for them this year, they didn't even have a top 80 schedule in terms of strength of schedule. Like by all the analytics, you want to kind of like the SP Plus or whatever else you want to do to kind of weight the defenses that he faced. He might as well have like played really good college or really good high school teams. Like it was basically like just a tier above what Trey Lance was probably playing. It's like that bad of defense across the board. Like even the teams that normally have good defenses didn't this year that they faced off against. And the only team that really had a good defense, might have been the best defense that they faced, was Coastal Carolina. And they lost. And it wasn't a perfect game for Zach Wilson. And so there are major questions for competition with him, because the year before he was not good. Like he was not a good quarterback in 2019. It was not pretty. And so like, which one is it? Is it the guy who just smoked everybody this past year and had an analytical profile like 98th, 99th percentile, especially if you know, adjust for certain metrics in that offense, like play action percentage and other things? Like I'm coming around on Wilson because analytically there's an argument for him. The film people seem to like him as much as anybody, and you know, people are propping him up, but I have questions, and I don't think he has the same level of mobility as Trey Lance. So
no,
I do have Trey Lance.
He does not have the same kind of mobility
nowhere.
As Trey Lance. I would agree with that.
And so like I think some people, but I don't think that's as common knowledge as we think it is. Like because
really
people don't
it seems
watch,
pretty obvious when you watch
but
the
like
film.
I think And I well, think, there's a difference between quick and fast. I think most people don't understand because they don't watch FCS football. Well, they're just relying on people who have podcasts to tell them what to think, you know. But and so
Travis,
and
that hits home. Be careful here. Like, let's, you know. Yeah. but don't you think there's a difference between quickness? I see. I feel like Wilson's quick. Lance is fast. Yeah, like, there's a difference between those two things.
Way big
which
difference.
Is why I use the Fitzpatrick comp tags when I'm looking at him, because Fitzpatrick wasn't fast, but he was quick. You know, early young Fitzpatrick tags, when you remember him, you know, coming into the league, he would be able to get out there, and obviously he was, like, sneaky quick, and he would, like, be, you know, all of a sudden all over the field. You're like, what's going on with this guy? I didn't expect that. But for you, when you look at Zach Wilson, like, do you have him over at three tags? Like, where do you have
him? No, I have him at four. I'm willing to take the upside Trey Lance over him.
I agree.
Okay. Wilson, to me, my comp, Johnny Manziel, Jay Cutler type player. Manziel was someone that obviously had high expectations coming out of college, had some mobility to his game, had an arm, but it never all came together. I don't know if we can say based on one dominant season that you know, Zach Wilson is that guy. Jay Cutler also, when he came into the league, he had a big arm. You know, he could, with a flick of the wrist, he could throw the ball 70 yards. But he also had some mobility to his game. And it's like, there's a lot of projecting when it comes to Zach Wilson, where you'd never like to do that in the NFL. That's why it's like, there's so many things. There's so many moving parts in college that with Zach Wilson, there's just more question marks for me than anything. And I feel like I know his accuracy level was high this year, but if you look before this year, I think it was down at 62%. When I watch Zach Wilson, there's certain quarterbacks you watch and you say, okay, when this guy throws to a receiver that's open, he's hitting him. Where with Zach Wilson, I don't get that feeling. I feel like it's almost just like a Mitch Trubisky type thing where it's like, when he hits it, it's going to look pretty. When he doesn't, you're just like, eh. It's like almost like when he throws it, it's
like Ryan Fitzpatrick.
It's a 50-50 ball. No, by the way, there is a quarterback in this class who is Ryan Fitzpatrick, and it's not Zach Wilson. It's Kyle Trask out of Florida. I actually like Kyle Trask. Yeah. I think he's a competent player.
I like Trask too, but he's even more of, I mean, yeah, I guess he's that gunslinger too. Like, he's just going to grip it and rip it kind of
I would love the Patriots to take a chance on that guy, because I like Trask. You know,
I am equal parts excited and terrified by that statement as a Patriots fan, because I kind of feel deep down too, is like, take a shot, see what you get. Maybe you get Brett Favre.
Or maybe you don't.
Like,
I don't think he's Favre, but no.
You know what I mean. Like, that gunslinger guy who's going to go out there and, like, he's going to give you a chance.
Yes.
And that roster is so bereft of guys who can make a difference on the offensive side. It is stunning. Yep. And they've gotten away with it with great execution for the last 20 years with Tom Brady, which brings us to our next quarterback. And when I think about Mac Jones, I think about execution. I think about a guy that, yes, you're giving him an embarrassment of riches in terms of toys to play with, but you still got to execute. And Mac Jones is really good at executing. He's got good awareness, good in the pocket, good decision-making skills, very polished, smart guy. Look, I don't think he is as exciting to watch as a lot of the other quarterbacks we talked about, but Travis, that doesn't mean he can't be a winning quarterback in the NFL. And I know sometimes the Alabama quarterbacks you go up and down about, but what are your thoughts on Mac Jones? Who does he remind you of?
He is playoff Eli Manning.
Yes, dude, that was 100% what I would have gone with.
Like, I love that. That is perfection. Like, that is perfection.
Because he has way better decision making than Eli Manning regular season, Eli Manning especially. but like a couple of specific playoff run Eli Manning, like he is that. He like physical intangibles, like he looks like your uncle out there, like just trying to figure it out in the pocket, like so athletically speaking. But you know, he's not going to wow you, and his arm strength isn't a rocket either. But at the same time, like, he puts the ball in the right place every single time. And I think that is really underrated. I think people want to pick him apart for not having high success or not doing much in his second read. The dude didn't ever have to. Like, he had, like you said, ridiculous weapons that were 5 yards wide open. And so maybe that inflates his profile overall. But what he did consistently this year and holding off a 5-star quarterback in Bryce Young, I mean, I can't knock him for what he did. He just said, look, I'm nobody's rooting for me right now. Everybody wants this kid to be, you know, this kid who comes from a like pedigree, everything, from a perfect high school situation. Like, he's got the athleticism upside. But, hey, I'm just Mac Jones, and I'm going to put it exactly where it needs to go. I'm going to keep this offense on schedule. And I think he could be a top, you know, 20 quarterback, but not top 8 or 9 quarterback ever for a very
but a playoff quarter. I mean, you nailed it, Tags. I don't know if you can one up that. Travis kind of, I mean, playoff Eli Manning sounds like about as perfectly as I could put it. I don't know if I even want to touch it.
I think that's best case scenario. But he reminds me of Eli Manning is basically what it came down to me, because he's a guy that has really bad footwork at times. A guy that, like, sometimes, you know, the reason I don't like Mac Jones, and this is the sole reason, is that I have an issue with quarterbacks that see ghosts. And I think he does sometimes. And that was playing in Alabama with a good offensive line in front of him, where it's like, if he goes to a team that doesn't have one of the better offensive lines, and by the way, we're hearing that the Panthers are his floor, and I'm like, you guys are crazy. If he goes top eight, I give up doing mock drafts. I don't think Mac Jones should go that high. Now he played with some of the best receivers out there. You know what I mean? He did play well at times. I think he's fine from a clean pocket. But when it comes to, I've even seen throws that he makes when I watch his film where he's in a clean pocket and you see him like falling back as he's throwing the ball, and I'm like, no, dude, no, it's just bad. So you just know when there's pressure coming how bad it's going to be. So I just don't think there's anything special about Mac Jones's game. And I am worried, depending on landing spot, what that turns into. But me personally, I'm not saying Kyle Trask should go before him, but in terms of where they're being drafted, I would rather take Trask a couple rounds later.
Fair enough. All right, let's have some fun to close things out. Let's get to know everybody better here and get to know me. This is where we're going to sit and talk with our fantasy pros here. And we're going to have a little music edition. I know Tags is a big music guy. Travis, hopefully you are too. So I'm going to ask some get to know me questions real quick, real fun. Let's keep it light and simple. So what was your roll up song in high school? Everybody's got the windows down trying to be cool. I want to know what Travis was rolling up to his high school listening to. Come on, lay it on me.
I was a weird high school kid.
That's fine. That's even better for this segment. Yeah, let's go.
You know, I listened to everything. I went through like a super pop punky phase and whatever. I had like the longer hair with the swoosh in the front. I got, you know, called Hollister hair. That was my name. But, you know, but at the same time, I would like ironically listen to a bunch of like super gangster music and then throw in some other stuff. I don't know. But I would roll up to whatever athletic practice I was going to and listen to just like Lose Yourself, you know, like, cause that's like the go-to.
Oh, and that's so not Eminem maybe, for like, you. That's right. Okay. Yeah, that's fair. Tags, do you have one?
Well, it depends on where I was rolling up to, Joe.
High school. I'm saying to high school in the morning.
Am I rolling up on friends or am I rolling up on girls? Like there was a different song for those.
You can have definitely. Absolutely. So let's get both songs.
I was always big. So like if you want girls, like Nelly was the side. It was a popular thing to do. You played Nelly. Like
you played Tags rolling up to the Nelly. I could see the memes from this episode right now on Twitter. Yeah. Like, there's going to be so many Nelly memes.
I did that. No, another song was Loud Pipes by Lil Wayne. So Lil Wayne was actually, liked him before. Like he got mainstream and I don't even like him anymore. Like I know a lot of people love Lil Wayne now, but I don't think he's very good anymore. But I liked his older stuff when I was younger, but I'm into everything, but I was into some rap, some hip hop back then. I was into rock. So your next question, Joe, will answer a different side though. That's
okay. All right. Well, we'll get to that. So for me, it was there was a big retro phase there. So it was a little Jimi Hendrix, Purple Haze. You know, something about that big sound. You have the windows open. That's some big stuff with the guitar. Also a little Rob Bass, It Takes Two, a little old school kind of thing sometimes, because I want to rock right now, and I'm Joey P, and I think everyone knows I came to get down. Let's do what would be your wrestling entrance music, Travis, if you had one? Do you know, you have an idea you want to come out? I mentioned before on Pristine Auction, I'm keeping an eye on the Ric Flair stuff. So how about for you when you're looking at wrestling entrance?
So this is because I think, I did like a Queen cover band thing for a while. So I think I got to go with
the Freddie Mercury or were you like the guitar player?
It depended on the venue and the song or whatever, but I got to do, you know, like We Will Rock You, you know, I guess
awesome.
and lead that. So I think that would be my go-to. For sure.
All right. So a little We Will Rock You. How about you, Tex? What's yours? It's got to be a corn.
It is a corn thing. Come on, dude. It's corn. It's blind, and it's the best. Intro that you could have. And if you've ever seen the 1999 Woodstock video of Korn playing Blind, you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about. Because I mean, it comes out and he screams, "Are you ready?" And then it just gets down. Let's do it. Right.
It's a good one.
The roll up song, the Nelly one. I never even said the song. The song is number one. If you play the song number one by Nelly, it was the girl getting song.
I'm going to go old school. You ever see the movie Basketball?
Yeah.
How about Don't Hate Me Because I'm Beautiful by Nerf Herder?
Oh, that my God.
Is that not the Joe Pizzapia walk-up song, right? You just hear that. Don't hate me because I'm beautiful.
And now,
don't hate me because I'm the best. I mean, that's
now we know,
just perfect.
Dude, I think you should be your walk-up song. It should be you covering the song.
You're right, Travis. You're totally right. I should be singing that one. All right, last one. This is
by the way, anybody that's listening right now, you now know why Joey P is single.
Single. Hey, man.
I love you.
No comment.
I love you.
I am happy. All right, next. Name an artist or a song that you love. I guess I didn't play enough Nelly. That was
really
true.
It's true.
Name an artist or a song that you love that might surprise people, because you know you're a tough fantasy football guy. Mm-hmm. On both of you. Let's see. Obviously, the sensitive side or something else. Maybe
everyone is. Good. Yeah, there are going to be some people that disown me now.
That's fine.
But
that's what this is for.
Yeah. Early career, I thought it was just super cheesy and bad and awful. But as I worked in the music industry for a half dozen years and kind of lived in the publishing space for a really long time, I learned to appreciate songwriting a lot more than I did growing up. And so now I actually really appreciate Taylor Swift.
It's great.
Yeah,
I have two daughters.
I know a lot of people do.
There's a lot of Taylor Swift, and I may or may not sing the songs in the car when they're not there.
Right, exactly. Right. Exactly. It's like I know more songs of hers than I probably should. You know, than a lot of people would admit. But yeah,
see, this is a safe place. I like this. This is all of us, you know, it's letting our guard down. Tags, how about for you?
Actually easy for me, because my daughter told me the other day that she was surprised that I would listen to the song. She actually called me a girl. Cassidy Pope, If My Heart Had a Heart. And I think that song is just so phenomenal. And I think it's a dark song, but it's a song that she sings beautifully. But I think that song could be done in a million different ways, but I love that song.
All right.
Dude, that's good. No lie. She actually used to be our neighbor. We live downtown Nashville.
Oh, look at that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so like my wife would just like see her at the gym and they'd
talk. That's awesome.
And
she seems like a sweetheart.
But she's, yeah. Oh, yeah. I had like that pop punk band that she did a long time ago. Hey Monday,
you remember that one?
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
I bet nobody listening today thought that this was how the show was going.
It's true.
Nobody thought we'd start here with comping running backs and we'd end up at Cassidy Pope. Nobody thought that. Nobody saw that.
Yeah. Here we are.
I'll give mine to, I've seen her now twice in concert. Pink, big fan, great voice, incredible live show. Worth every penny. I encourage everybody. Great catalog of music. You know all the songs. And then, like, she'll play live. Like, I heard her play at a concert once that I was at. She played Smells Like Teen Spirit. Oh, my God. She should just do a whole rock album. She's so good. So good. So it's a little Pink for me, a little Taylor Swift for Travis, and a little Cassidy Pope
for
Tags.
That's the girl getting concert, Joe. You got Pink. There you go. Yeah.
Maybe we should just start a big Lilith Fair kind of thing.
Oh, no, we're not.
We'll just, you know, we'll all go when next time the concerts are allowed again.
All right. Matching t-shirts.
There you go. All right. I want to remind everybody about our giveaway. Again, do not forget, we still have that giveaway at fantasypros.com/contest for that J.K. Dobbins jersey. Take that screenshot. Fill out the form and you can win that jersey. You only got a few days left here, so get on that. I want to thank our sponsors, Magic Spoon. Go to magicspoon.com/fantasypros. Grab that variety pack and get it on there today with the promo code fantasypros. And sign up for our other sponsor, pristineauction.com. Again, that's P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. Travis, great stuff. Please follow Travis on Twitter if you don't already. @FF_TravisM. That'll do it for Travis, Tags, and myself, but the story of the game goes on. We'll see you next time, kids.
With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.